Nation on Sundays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. In the name of Allah, from whom I hope for nothing but bounty, and from whom I fear nothing but justice. I rely only upon His word, and I cling only to His cord. In Thee I seek sanctuary, O possessor of pardon and good pleasure. From wrong and enmity, and from the changes of time, and the recurrence of sorrows, and from the striking of mishaps, and from the expiration of my term before preparation and readiness. From Thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From Thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in Thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans, and I seek protection in Thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For Thou art Allah, the best guardian, and Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before Thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it, of associating others with Thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to Thee, addressing myself to Thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to You for the hope of Your rewards. So bless Muhammad, the best of Thy creation, the summoner to Thy truth. Exalt me with Thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with Thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but Thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely, Thou art the All-Forgiving, the All-Compassionate.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Almighty. Dear brothers and sisters, in faith and humanity, salamu alaikum, peace and salutations of Allah, the Creator, be upon all of you. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, so welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio from Iran. This is today's special. We're going to speak about importance of dua and supplication. I invite you to be with us till the end of this episode. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. All praises to Allah, all praises to Allah. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. All praises to Allah, all praises to Allah. first, we'll look at the calendar. Today, Saturday, is the 24th of Rajab, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 7th of Isfand, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 26th of February, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual, we start with the Holy Quran. We choose chapter Ghafir, verse 60 for today. Let's listen to it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. وقال ربكم ادعوني استجب لكم إن الذين يستكبرون عن عبادتي سيدخلون جهنم داخرين.
And your Lord says, call upon me, I will respond to you. Indeed, those who disdain my worship will enter hell rendered contemptible.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In this famous verse, the Quran has a message for us from the one who is your Lord, the one who knows what you need, what suits you, and what can develop you. Know that the verse mentions call me, not necessarily ask me. We usually think that dua means asking, but it does not necessarily involve requesting. It is a broader concept that includes all kinds of calling. For us as the servants of Allah, the most important thing is to be able to communicate and be connected to our Lord. Not only can we not survive without Allah, but we cannot survive without being connected to Him. This is today's special. We're speaking about importance of dua and supplication. The holy month of Rajab, Shaban, and Ramadan in Islamic calendar are a special time for supplicating to Allah. Dua, or supplication or praying, is especially encouraged. Believers spend a lot of time in these months praying to the Almighty, asking for their needs of this world and the hereafter. Apart from the recommended du'as for the nights and days, we are told to be in a constant state of prayer and du'a. Imam Ali, peace be upon him, in Nahjul Balagha, letter 31, said, "He has opened for you the door of repentance. Therefore, whenever you call him, he hears your call. And whenever you whisper to him, he knows the whisper. You place before him your needs, unveil before him yourself. Complain to him for your worries, beseech him to remove your troubles. Seek his help in your affairs, and ask from the treasures of his mercy what no one else has the power to give, namely long life, health of body, and increase of livelihood."
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to talk about the conditions and etiquettes of praying to God. Among the religious universals or universals of world religions, there are certain elements and there are certain practices, and one of them is concerned with praying and offering prayers to the deity. I mean, in general, And in the Islamic religion, it holds true regarding offering prayers to God. In the Islamic religion, prayers are addressed to God. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ultimate being in the whole world. So he is capable of, fulfilling whatever we wish. In the Holy Quran, in the Surah Al-Ghafir, verse number 6, it's indicated, Ud'uni astajib lakum. Call me so that I would fulfill your desires. In this regard, it must be indicated that according to the instructions of the first infallible Imam, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, when someone wants to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they should do in a certain way. Simply requesting, I mean, offering a request or wording a request to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to God, isn't enough. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam indicated that the first condition is that one should be repentant regarding the wrongdoings he or she has committed. Another one is a resolute decision regarding not to commit sins again. The third one is recompensing. The third one is compensating the rights of other people. If in our life we have made some mistakes, hence we infringed the rights of other people, in order to have our prayers well fulfilled, we have to do otherwise. We have to compensate the jobs or, for example, wrongdoings we have we might have committed.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun shining with light, be like a rose spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special,
be like the earth, humble and wise, be like the rain, pouring all your love to every soul.
If you are with today's special from IRIB English Radio, you will hear about etiquettes and requisites of supplication. From the etiquettes, at the first step, we reach to recognition of Allah, one of the most significant requisites for the acceptance of a prayer, is the knowledge of Allah. Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, the last prophet of Allah, said, "Had you recognized Allah with the recognition due to him, your prayers would have dislodged the mountains. Had you recognized Allah with the recognition due to him, your prayers would have dislodged the mountains." It is reported that once Imam Sadiq alayhi salam recited the verse, "Is not he, Allah, the one who answers the call of the distressed person when he invokes him?" So he was asked, "Why is it that we invoke but are not answered?" Imam alayhi salam replied, "Because you invoke one whom you do not recognize and you pray for what you do not know."
Ya Elahi وسيدي ومولاي ومالك رقي يا من بيده ناصيتي يا أليما بذري ومسكنتي يا خبيرا بفقري بفاقتي
one of the effects of dua is pleases the Almighty. Allah loves that believers should pray to Him constantly. He says in the Holy Quran, in chapter 25, verse 77, Allah would not care for you were it not for your supplications. A hadith, traditions also tell us of how Allah loves those who pray and ask from Him. God loves nothing better than that His servants ask from Him. That was the tradition from Imam Baqir, peace be upon him. Supplicate for, there is nothing like dua to get you closer to Allah. And do not leave out your minor needs. For the one who is the master of the major needs is also the master of the minor ones. That was a beautiful tradition from Imam Sadiq.
One of the greatest blessings upon us is that we have a Lord who invites us to speak to Him at any time, whenever, at all times. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites us to speak to Him. And this is a blessing upon us as individuals. In fact, the opportunity to speak with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a blessing that we all have, but not many people take advantage of. And not many people know how to take advantage of this opportunity. We have direct access to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times, at any time. And to say whatever is in our minds, is in our hearts, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many of us take this opportunity? How many of us take this opportunity and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِ. When my ibad, when my servants ask about me, tell them I'm close, and I will answer whoever calls upon me.
That was another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Keep us in your dua and supplication. Have a nice time. Fi amanillah.
Allahumma ighfir li. اغفر لي وارحمني واهدني يا مولاي عافني في دنياي وارزقني وارزقني ذكرك يشرح صدري ذكرك يرفع قدري أدعوك وتجزيني بالرحمة والأجر اللهم اغفر لي اللهم ارحمني
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and congratulations to you all on the decisive victory of Islam over the Israelite seditionists at the historic Battle of Khaybar that was won single-handedly by the commander of the faithful Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. And here is what Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, told the Imam while sending him to conquer the impregnable fortress of Khaybar. Invite them to Islam and inform them of their duty towards Allah and Islam. By Allah, if He guides one single soul through you to the right way, it will be better for you than to own a huge treasure.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio.
Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a beautiful tradition from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam regarding the people whom one must not befriend. We all know that having a friend and friendship is very important in Islam. In fact, the Holy Prophet ﷺ says, man follows the same creed as his friend. So consider carefully who it is you befriend. And Imam Ali ﷺ said, one's friend is the closest of one's relations. Right, so having a friend is necessary. We can't deny that. But at the same time, having a friend who has a bad effect upon us is very consequential, and it leads to many evil results in the hereafter. In the Holy Quran, God Almighty says the following, a day when the wrongdoer will bite his hands, saying, I wish I had followed the apostles' way. Woe to me, I wish I had not taken so and so as a friend. Certainly he led me astray from the reminder after it had come to me, and Satan is a deserter of man. Right, so having a bad friend is very dangerous, has evil consequences for us in the hereafter. It will be a source of regret for us on that day. Because of that, the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he kind of points to the person who we should not befriend in this beautiful tradition. The Prophet says, it is not good for you to befriend someone who does not have your best interests at heart as he does his own. Right? He doesn't want for you what he wants for himself. He's a selfish person. He's befriending you for some, you know, some benefit that he hopes to accrue from you, right? This is one of those people who you shouldn't befriend. So this is something in general, reflecting the same theme. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "He who in his friendship with you is of no aid to you against your base self, his friendship is a curse upon you, if you only knew." Right? So this second person could be an instance of the first person, right? So like we have a person who's simply befriending you because of his own interest. It's possible that in certain cases, right, he might not prevent you from doing something evil, something bad, and from sinning. Right? Such a friendship is a curse upon you, and one should not befriend such a person.
Right?
In the same vein, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "Beware of befriending corrupt people, immoral people, and those who openly commit acts of disobedience to God." Of course, everybody besides the infallibles and the prophets and the imams, alayhi salam, all of us, you know, sin, right? But so we can, if we hope to find somebody who's perfect, right, we're not going to find anybody like that. But we should avoid those people who openly sin, right? Openly commit acts of disobedience to God, you know, openly transgress against him, right? Avoid befriending such people is recommended. We should try to befriend those people, at least openly try to act according to the dictates of Islam and the religious edicts. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at people who we should not befriend in the words of Imam Ali and the Holy Prophet and the other infallibles, alayhi wasalam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجهم.
Okay, so respected brothers and sisters, welcome to the Let's Read and Recite the Quran Kareem with the students of Sevier International School. And these sessions, as you know, okay. Yeah, these sessions, as you know, these sessions are held by IRIB English Radio and also in cooperation with Sevier International School Networks and especially the students of Sevier International School. So let's recite a salawat and start our class. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil faraj. Surah Al-A'raf. Okay. This is a good surah. This is a good surah. We will talk about the Hamzatul Wasl and Qata. So Hamzatul Wasl, Hamzatul Qata, okay? In the first ayah, Sabbih Isma, right?
Wasl.
Ism is a noun. So if you read it alone, okay, you say Ism. You use a kasra. Ism. You remember? Like Ibn. Yeah? Imra. Next one. Alif Lam. Al-A'la. If you read it alone, like, you use a fatha. Al-A'la. Right? So Hamzatul Qata is there. A'la. Right?
And there's one.
Three.
So. Recite, Mahdi will repeat after you.
Wait, from the very beginning?
Yeah, very beginning.
Sembih ism. What?
Bismillah.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
No, don't need it.
Huh? Go on. Sembih ism.
Okay, without Bismillah?
Yes.
You said Bismillah. You can recite it again, Bismillah.
Sembih ism Rabbika al-A'la.
سبح اسم ربك الأعلى.
What if I recite and you repeat?
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
Okay? Because I have not recited for a long time.
Yes,
please.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
سبح اسم ربك الأعلى.
سبح اسم ربك الأعلى.
Look, أعلى. First one is a light sound.
أعلى.
No, do not start with أعلى. Start with أ and end with عين.
Yes.
أعلى.
أعلى.
Look.
أعلى.
Hey.
أعلى.
أعلى.
أعلى means
say it, everyone. Do not say
أعلى.
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 Say
أعلى.
No. Mahdi, everyone, say
أعلى.
After me. Repeat after me. Quiet. Now put now join them together.
سبح اسم ربك الأعلى.
سبح اسم ربك الأعلى.
Okay, the next ayah starts with a Hamzatul Wasl.
Yes.
So I have to put a fatha on the top of Hamzatul Wasl.
الذي خلق فسوى.
الذي خلق فسوى.
أحسن. Now, if I join these two ayah, so yes. I literally, okay, I have to join الأعلى, the lam of الأعلى, أعلى. I have to join it to the next lam in الذي. Okay, I skip that Hamzatul Was. So, listen and repeat. Listen and repeat.
سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى.
سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى.
من هنا سين. Read these two ayah together.
سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى.
ما شاء الله. هذه
سبح اسمك الذي خلق فسوى.
Great. محمد يحيى.
بسم الله
سبح اسم ربك الأعلى. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى.
أحسن. محمد يحيى. محمد يحيى.
سبح اسم ربك بك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى.
Okay, do not say سبح اسم ما.
سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى.
Now the next ayah starts with واو and you don't need to put a فتح on the top of Hamzatul Wasl, okay? Because you skip that one, yes? When you join two words together, you skip that Hamza. It just sacrifices itself, okay? Hamzatul Was sacrifices itself, okay? To join two words together, okay? So,
وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى.
وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى.
I will not forgive you this time if you say وَالَّذِي.
وَالَّذِي.
استنى last time he said سبح اسم ربك الأعلى
والذي قدر فهدى
The next ayah again starts with the same, but we have again one hamzatul qat' akhraja, and the next one al-mar'a hamzatul wasl.
والذي أخرج المرعى
والذي أخرج المرعى
The next ayah we have غثاء حمزة الوصل قطع and again أحوى حمزة
قطع
So both we have to pronounce the same, okay? I mean the sound.
فجعله غثاء أحوى
فجعله غثاء أحوى
Now inshallah in tajweed when we learn okay inshallah when we go to the next level you will learn should I read for example this way
غثاء أحوى or غثاء أحوى Or غثاءً أحوى Or غثاءً أحوى
Sir, it is the second
Or غثاءً أحوى
Inshallah you will learn them
Sir, it is the third
I cannot tell the difference All are the same
All are the same?
No
Sir, Listen, Muhammad Ahia, are these the same? My
no,
recitation
not,
Look
غثاء أحوى غثاء أحوى
Okay, inshallah
But the rest are the same
No, they were
yes,
not the same
Yes, the rest are the same
Okay Next Now look at the next ayah سنقرئك حمزة الوصل, right? حمزة الوصل Yes, من حسين؟
Wait
سنقرئك
I don't see any Hamza. Oh, we have a Qatl.
Hamza al Qatl. We have Hamza al Qatl, okay?
Okay, we have
somebody, please.
قلب بالحق تعلق وبغارح راء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
So,
سنقرئك فلا تنسى.
سنقرئك.
What are you saying?
سنقرئك.
Listen carefully and repeat.
You did wrong.
Wait, listen.
Okay.
سنقرئك فلا تنسى
سنقرئك فلا تنسى
أحسن next ayah look we have many حمزة الوصل قطع إيه إلا is it حمزة الوصل قطع
is it
قطع because it has حركة and it has a حمزة
yeah
next one ما شاء
حمزة الوصل
قطع
yeah.
isolated Hamza then it is very clear it is Hamza al Qatar
yes very clear
Allah you are saying that Allah
it's no قطع. Allah yeah alif lam Allah it is Hamza al wasl
and then Allah innahu very much
innahu قطع or wasl
قتل
قتل
two are قتل and one wasl
okay so
إلا ما شاء الله
إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ
إِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْجَهْرَ وَمَا يَخْفَى
إِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْجَهْرَ وَمَا يَخْفَى
أحسن Okay, it's enough from this sir, surah. Let's go to Surah Al-Ghashiyah.
No, not Ghashiyah.
I will ask you to read.
Ghashiyah is hard.
Okay. Surah Al-Ghashiyah, next page. Surah Al-Ghashiyah, next page. Hadi. Hadi, read the first ayah and tell me what is there any Hamzatul Wasl or Qatar?
Bismillah. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Sir, can you read first? Then I.
Sir, can I start?
Yes.
And then Minhal's last.
Yes.
Hadith. Come on.
Hal ataka
hadith.
I read.
هل
أتاك حديث الغاشية؟
Okay, wait. He said هل أتاك. So now I ask him a question. Is there any هامزة أتاك؟
No, sir. I can't see because it is like this.
No, because my house big face is in the way.
هل أتاك؟ Again, read it.
هل أتاك حديث الغاشية؟
Thank you. من هل say next ayah.
وجوه يومئذ خاشية.
Thank you. يومئذ, right? حمزة القطع. محمد يحيى, next آية. قتل.
عاملة ناسية ناصية.
ناصية. Okay, محمد. مهدي.
تصلى نار حامية.
Okay, الحمد لله. Okay. تصلى نار حامية. The next one, Mahdi.
تصلى نار. ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع.
The previous one.
The previous one.
Here.
تسقى. تسقى من عين آنية.
من عين آنية. إحسان. حمزة القطع. يا آنية.
قتل.
Thank you so much, everyone. صدق الله العلي العظيم. اللهم صل على
محمد.
Okay, let's recite a Quranic salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. We learned about Hamzatul Qatar and Wasl, that Muhammad Minhal Hussain named it Qatl, Hamzatul Qatl and Hamzatul Wasl, okay?
Yes.
Then, inshallah, the next sessions, we will continue some other things and points, topics about Hamzatul Qatl, okay, and Hamzatul Wasl, inshallah. Thank you so much. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and Sevier International School Network. Thanks to Minhal Hussain. Thanks to Minhal Hussain, Hadi, Mahdi, Muhammad Yahya, and Habibullah Fasihizada.
Sayyid
Hadi. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi Muhammad wa ajil
fal. Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International School.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
وحبسني عن نفعي بعد آمالي وخدعتني الدنيا بغرورها ونفسي ومطالي يا سيدي فأسألك بعزتك ألا يحجب عنك دعائي سوء عملي وفعالي.
Brothers and sisters, we reached the part of the Kumail supplication in which Imam Ali alayhi salam says, يا سيدي فأسألك بعزتك أن لا يحجب عنك دعائي سوء عملي وفعالي. O my Lord, so I ask you by your might not to let my evil deeds and acts veil my supplication from you. In the previous episode, we mentioned that there are two important benefits in the acceptance of man's prayer by the Almighty Allah. The minor benefit is the very fulfillment of the request of the petition made by the supplicant to the Almighty Allah, and the greater benefit is its very response, it's the ijabah from the Almighty Allah, because every response from the side of the Lord has his iqbal toward his servants, and every prayer has got a turning of the servant towards the Almighty Allah. Why do we claim that this second benefit is greater than the fulfillment of the request itself? I mean, when we have a look from another approach, we understand that however a valuable a thing might be, it is always limited. It has an end. But there is no limit and end to the value of turning of Almighty Allah towards His servants. There is no limit for the felicity of a servant so long as he is under the care and providence and special attention of the Almighty Allah. And this is the kind of salvation above which there is no other salvation with which Allah can single out a servant from among his other servants. This is a state in which the Almighty Allah turns toward the servant. This is what we call Iqbal. This is when the Almighty Allah listens to the servants. This is when the Almighty Allah responds to the servants and make them aware of His response. Whatever the enormity of the request and petition made by the servant to the Almighty Allah be. But this is way beyond that level. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is reported to have said, "Once I had called on Allah, so He answered me, and I forgot my need, because His response by turning toward His servant, when He implores Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is greater and momentous than that which His servant desires from Him, even if it is the heaven and its everlasting bounties. But this is not comprehended except by the learned ones. It is only the alimun, the muhabboon, the lovers and true worshippers of the Almighty Allah that understand this aspect of supplication.
Oh Allah, my trials and sufferings have increased and my evilness has worsened. My good deeds have diminished and my misdeeds have become firm. And remote hopes restrain me from profiting with good deeds. And the world has deceived me with its allurements. And my own self has been affected by treachery and my delay. Therefore, my Lord, I ask you by your greatness not to let my sins and my misdeeds veil my supplications from you, and not to disgrace me by exposing those of which you have knowledge, nor to hasten my retribution for those vices and misdeeds committed by me in secret
which were due to evil-mindedness, ignorance, excessive lustfulness, and my negligence.
Thank you, Allah, that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
Prayer, supplication, and dua, and the response to it, it's ijaba, denote a kind of reciprocal relation between Allah and His servant, and the best and the most distinctive of its kind. A divine narration related by the Holy Prophet ﷺ says, "He who is occupied by my mention from asking me, I shall give him the best of what I give to the beseechers," or the sa'ilin. Or Imam Sadiq ﷺ says, "If a servant who has a need to Allah begins his prayer with praising Allah and sending blessings on Muhammad and his progeny to the extent that he forgets his need, then he will fulfill it without him asking him subhanahu wa ta'ala for it." This is the kind of ijaba we are looking for. This is a by far greater benefit than the fulfillment of the request and petition itself. So when Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "Ya Sayyidi, fa'as'aluka bi'izzatika an la yahjuba 'anka du'a'i su'u 'amali wa fi'ali," he says, "My Lord, I ask you by your might not to let my evil deeds and acts veil my supplication from you." He is asking the Almighty Allah the granting the request and petition on one hand, and on the other, he's asking for the turning of the Almighty Allah. He's asking for the iqbal of the Almighty Allah. And this is the greater side of the supplications Imam Ali alayhi salam is teaching us to consider in our minds. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode of the program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
شما در این قرن معجزه کردید. ملت ایران ملت معجزه آسای قرن است.
الله اکبر. خمینی رهبر. الله اکبر. خمینی رهبر.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. In the name of Allah, the exalted, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Salam, hello, and welcome to our audience, particularly a warm welcome to our audience who are listening to the program, The Man Who Changed the World and Still Is. Of course, I refer to Imam Khomeini, may God bless his great soul, for which the supreme leader of the revolution of the Islamic Republic of Iran has referred to and has said that the revolution that occurred in this part of the world and for the rest of the world in its entirety cannot be understood without the great personality of Imam Khomeini. From the previous program, we were at the stage where we've discussed about claim, we've discussed about the fact that there have been enemies of the revolution as well. And of course, Imam Khomeini referred to a very big enemy of this revolution, which he referred to in the form of two enemies, one being American Islam and the other, the great Satan. Now, we mentioned in this program that Imam Khomeini, may God bless his great soul, whatever word he said was law. In other words, he's not saying words for the sake of saying them because it's either good PR or because of the fact that it's something to do with just saying something for the moment, which is what many other personalities and leaders of previous revolutions have done in the past in order to make people hate a particular enemy. Imam Khomeini never hated anyone. He was stating facts. So when he states the fact that the Americans or the USA is the great Satan, what did he mean by that? Did he mean that they're behaving like Satan? They show the characteristics of Satan? In terms of the fact that we discussed in the previous program that Satan's objective is not just simply that we abandon principles or that we abandon God or stop our belief in God or become infidels, but the fact is that he wants the complete abasement and the abuse and disgrace of mankind in the sight of God. He's not satisfied with anything less, because going to hell is only part of the process in which he would like to see man fall. So we're putting everything in the context of the Holy Quran, because of course the Holy Quran is an account of what happens to man when he abandons God or loses his faith in God, and what happens to man when he does believe in God. And that's what Imam Khomeini wanted to show by his example to the rest of the world in the late 20th century, when religion had really taken a back seat. Once again, I've got Dr. Hassani to help me with this discussion, and I'd like to welcome him on the program once again.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you for having
me. Yes, and Dr. Hassani, of course, is an Islamic researcher and academic by profession. Dr. Hassani, take us into the next stage of this debate and this discussion, because you've talked about humiliation and debasement by Satan from the Holy Quran. But we are looking at, what are our Satans now? Is it still Satan in the form of the USA, or are we talking about something entirely different here? Because Imam Khomeini made a statement, and he said the great Satan can't do anything. So take us into that stage. Why did Imam Khomeini say that, and what did he mean by it?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Again, so many different subjects, one at a time, as much as I can elaborate
sure,
on.
Sure, sure.
And I would like to start by, you know, my style of talking. Mm-hmm.